Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Cavaliers home tomorrow, Game 5 against the Orlando Magic. Deep breath, pause. Do they regroup in Game 5 at home, Andy? Because it was a debacle in Orlando. Is it as simple as getting home on your home court? Is it as simple as you played a team that's very good at home and looked terrible? I don't think it's that simple.
I don't think it's that easy either. If it was easy, they would have swept the series and they would have played continuously.
Or at least won one and win the series in five.
And maybe had a close game. Those are two blowouts.
I keep going back to the same thing because to me it's telling. You were just god-awful in the third quarter coming out after halftime when you had a chance to sit down, strategize, think about what you wanted to do. And you came out and were just awful. And to me, man, something better change there. You better scheme it up a little bit better, or you better have more motivated players coming out after halftime. Something drastic went wrong twice. That's not good. George has patiently been holding on in Worcester. George?
Hey, George.
Hello, Andy. Jeff, how you doing?
Good, hey, George. What's going on, man?
Hey, George from Cleveland's now in Worcester.
Yeah. I'm with my mom.
Yes.
Yeah, I got some ideas about how to settle down the Cavs offense. And first of all, Garland has to be the exclusive point guard. You've got Donovan Mitchell playing the point. You've got LeVert, even Strauss at times. You've got four different personalities playing the point. It's just helter-skelter. I want Garland to exclusively handle the point. I want Mitchell to not be thinking about being a point guard and assisting and scoring. And you can see it when he's dribbling. I want him to score the ball. And then, you know, if he can't get in there and do his thing, then give it up and bring it out to the point again, or a shooter outside. But I think that's a big problem. And he's the only true point guard on the team. That is Garland. And also, I would have him, and I've said this before, give him the liberty to shoot the three off the dribble. That's where his game flows and starts from, not off the catch and shoot. It's off the separation, off the dribble. I think he needs to shoot 10 to 12 of them, and I think we win going away if they do that. So appreciate it, guys.
George, thank you very much. And appreciate your patience. George hung on for quite a long time. Darius Garland's had a rough series so far, Andy. 12 points a game, which is way below what he did in the regular season. I just wonder, in his situation here, what do you do? You know, I mean, do you need, if Donovan is truly We think he's hurt. Okay. I don't know how else to explain. I also don't know how a guy who's hurt has 18 in the first half, if he's hurt, but then nothing in the second half. Did it kick in late in the second quarter? Did something flare up at halftime? I don't know. Because you can sit here and scream that he's hurt, except, boy, he sure was good in the first half. So what's that mean? If he's hurt, then I think Darius needs to pick up some of the scoring slack.
Is that a matter of saying to Darius, pick up the scoring slack, or just naturally that happening?
I think it better be something that actually happens. Yeah. Nate's in West Salem. Hello, Nate.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey. All right, I've got my solution for the Cavs. It's one might say it's a little thinking outside of the box, and it might be a little crazy, but I'm going to call it courageous. Yep. JB's time here is done, and the sooner we realize that, the better. You don't get smoked twice like that, and you got to put it on someone. I'm putting it on JB, and there's only one person I can trust to come in right now and make an immediate change on how this team performs in the playoffs, and that is Greg Williams. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, Nate. Glad Nate came in for that one.
A lot of setup.
Andy's in North Olmsted. Andy?
Jeffrey, Andy, what's up, you two?
Hey, Ant, how are you?
Boy, that's going to be a tough call to follow there.
Sure
huh?
is.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, now I want you to follow me. I just remember my coaching days. Sometimes some things were clicking on the court.
Andy, where'd you coach, by the way?
I coached the junior high in Cleveland for years.
Very nice.
Anyway, I know it's a much lower level, but, you know, players are still
I got to tell you, we've talked to you a lot more. I thought you were going to tell us you were at some college.
Oh, no. Wait, you know, Andy, I wish, but you know me. I love basketball.
Yes, you do.
Okay?
Yes, you do.
I did it for years, but basketball is basketball. But I want you to follow me on this, okay? I'm just trying to piece this together from my knowledge of coaching. There's something going on, you guys. Okay, now follow me with this, okay?
Yep, follow.
First of all, Caris LeVert to me. And I'm just trying to read body language, has seemed very disinterested. And I'm going to tell you what's going on. Darius Garland used the word, we need to be connected. Did you hear him say that? These guys, I think, are a pretty tight group off the court. And I think some things are going on that they're not happy with. Number one, LeVert's coming up on an expiring deal. You guys, I think he really believes he should be starting now instead of Strus. That's what I see. So follow me. Okay.
Hello.
They didn't extend Isaac. I think Isaac is very well liked on the team, and they're probably wondering why, because you talk about a guy who's not even touching the ball on offense. You know, there's something going on here, you guys. I don't, you know, and for all the JB hate out there, hey, I think JB is trying. I think, you know, he can't control some things. He just may be a coach that takes you to a certain level. But like I've said, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I want you to talk about that LeVert notion I have with Strus, okay? Because you know what? Max Strus, I didn't even know who Max Strus was until I caught the finals last year. He had historically a horrific shooting series, and he was rewarded with 4 guaranteed years. I didn't understand the 4 guaranteed years. Why there weren't club options on that, you know, for years 3 and 4 is beyond me. But I think there's something going on, and it gets me to, I don't want to hear people complaining about, oh, we are the smallest team 1 through 3, because we are. Who's in charge of the roster construction? It's Kobe Altman. His first 2 picks were small guards, and he's going to end up getting fired, you guys, because he ended us. We have no assets moving forward, no salary cap flexibility. You don't make – the Donovan Mitchell trade was bad because of the timing was bad.
And you, Andy, just wait. Andy, the first-round picks are still to come on that. Andy, thank you very much for the phone call. Just to follow up what Andy's saying here, you brought in Strus and you brought in Niang to add some outside elements to the team and some scrappiness as well. And I don't think there's any question they were both scrappy in the regular season. But so far in the playoffs, Max is shooting 17.6% on threes, which is almost double George Niang, who's shooting at 9.1%. And Caris LeVert at 23.1%. None of those guys are having a good playoff series. And that's tough. Overall shooting percentage is not much better. Max Strus at 38.5%. You're not getting help from guys who you need to get some help from. I've always thought that Caris's role on this team, Andy, seemed vague to me. You know what I mean? You have Darius and you have Donovan, and then you, as Andy points out, you have Strus starting, and then Karras is the main backup there. To me, Karras is the type of guy you want to get the ball to. I think you want to get him the ball.
I don't. Right? To me, he's a spark plug, man. I mean, he can get you going. I don't. I like watching him play because I think he can score. He didn't look. He just looked a little off in the last game. But I like LeVert because I think he brings energy to the floor. I think he can get you points when you need him. He's another option rather than having to go to your go-to guy. Something about LeVert. And by the way,
I've always liked Karras.
I mean, there isn't a shot he doesn't like either, but that's, you know, that's for another
He can
day.
Score.
Yeah.
He's 6'6 as well. What a nice change of pace for the guys who are in the backcourt and on the wing for the Cavaliers. Zach's in Cleveland. Zach?
Guys, how you doing this morning?
Hey, all right, Zach. We're hoping they bounce back in game 5.
Yeah, guys. I see at the last two games, at least the parts that I've caught, because, you know, it became such a blowout. I felt like I was, you know, watching early 2000s Browns game. I was just ready to turn it off. And I really just kind of disassociated myself with it, if I'm honest. But what I see out there is kind of similar to what we saw in those 4 years we were in the finals against Golden State, in the 3 years that we lost, I should say. And they made us play their game. And that's why we lost. And I feel like that's what's happened the last two games with the Magic. They're taking our big guys out of it. They're not getting as many touches, which is obviously, you know, with them not being on the floor, they can't have two trees out there. If their tallest guy out there is 6'8", 6'9", you know, we're moving a lot slower and they're getting down the floor quicker. So then we got to try to match that, which Karras can come in and help with and all that stuff. It's totally fine. But we're not winning the boards. We're not winning on the boards, guys. And that's a huge problem.
Well, they're a much bigger team.
If we're missing shots and we're not getting those rebounds, I mean, that's
bad combination.
Second chance points is going to win a lot of games for us.
All right, Zach, thank you very much. We talked about the size of the Magic going into the series, you know, and it's been on display at the three spot, especially with Wagner having a big size advantage over whoever's out there for the Cavaliers. He was terrific in game 4. 34 points. He was really good. Abner is on West Boulevard. Hello, Abner.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Abner.
I have a couple things I want to say. And me and my friends almost got into blows, and our friendship was in jeopardy. Excuse me. It's because of this. Before the playoffs started, people were saying, oh, my God, let's avoid this team and that team. Oh, my God, we're going to lose to any team in the playoffs. Okay, that's fine. I thought that, too. But then once we went up 2-0, all of a sudden, the cocky Cleveland fans were like, yeah, we're going to sweep them. Oh, yeah, we look really good.
And I'm looking at one.
They did look really good. You can't deny they didn't look good in game 1-2.
I know, but this is what I'm trying to get at. We were up 2-0, and then we started being cocky, this and that. And then we were down, and now it's all of a sudden, let's jump the ship and switch. I just don't understand with some Cleveland fans, man. We are in trouble. I said it before. Any team we play, we're going to lose to. We are a bad basketball team. We should have traded Donovan Mitchell because, let me tell you, and this is a bold take, he's kind of like Dak Prescott. In the regular season, he's amazing, MVP. But in the playoffs, he is horrible. We should have traded all of them. You know what?
Abner, I just want to make sure you're not on the ship at all. You never were on the ship, is what you're saying, right?
No. I knew from the start that this would happen, and we are a horrible basketball team. I don't know what's going on because we have great players. But I'm saying, like Kevin Durant, some players are just good at basketball, and they can't lead a team. That is what Donovan Mitchell is. And Garland, it's like Garland can't play with another star. It's a weird situation. We have to move on, and we're screwed. I don't know why. Cleveland sports is cursed.
Abner, thank you very much for that cheery phone call.
He didn't like the parade. He said we were cursed. I don't remember being cursed during the parade.
Back then we weren't, no. Huh? Frank's in Gate Mills. Frank.
Remember the monsters being cursed?
Hi, Frank.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Frank.
Maybe I'll build off of what Abner said a little bit. I mean, my biggest concern is someone earlier was talking about Darius Garland being your point guard, your exclusive point guard. Well, the problem is he can't get the ball down the floor without turning it over or having a bigger person prevent him from getting to his spot. And all of our small guys, no one other than Donovan, our smaller guys cannot create offense for themselves, and our big guys can be guarded one-on-one by Orlando's bigger guys, and that's the problem. They're making more shots. We're missing our shots. Garland is a problem. I mean, I hate to say it. He's great during the regular season, but when they start playing defense, which people do in the playoffs, he loses it, and it's a problem.
Frank, thank you very much. We're going to talk more Cavs a little bit later on in the show, folks. Game 5 tomorrow. Keep in mind, completely different narrative after games 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because the roles were reversed, and the Cavs are back home tomorrow night. So we'll see. If they lay an egg in game 5, Andy, oh, we're going to have a fun show, aren't we?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yep. An alum of that team who works on the Michigan Radio Network, on the Lions Radio Network, does radio in Detroit, spent 9 years playing right tackle for Washington in the NFL, 1 year for the Lions, joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's John Jansen. John, how are you? Good to have you with us.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great to hear from you.
We're doing well. We're not as busy as you are. You're a busy guy, man.
Yeah, it's there's a lot going on, but you know what? As you guys know, you got to stay busy all the time. And Michigan has definitely kept me busy, as well as the rest of Detroit sports.
And that, we're glad for you. That's fun. You have some insight for us into a guy who comes in here as a third-round draft choice. Zach Zinter, injured against Ohio State, broke his leg. That's bad news. How's the injury healing up from everything you've heard, and how good of a pro do you think he can be?
Oh, I think he's going to be a great pro. When he arrived in Ann Arbor and walked through the doors. Now, I've seen a lot of guys in my time in the NFL, and obviously a lot more guys coming and going in Ann Arbor. And as soon as he walked in, I mean, he walked in ready to go. He was just built to play offensive guard. And it's fun to see some of those guys who just have that natural talent, that natural ability, and kind of find exactly what it is that they've been – really put on this earth to do, and for him it's to play offensive guard. So he's been very steady throughout his entire career at Michigan. He started a bunch of games, and he's been in big situations where, you know, down in Columbus, those two runs, and I'm probably rubbing everybody the wrong way in the state of Ohio, but they remember the 85 and 75 yard runs from Donovan Edwards 2 years ago. Those were right behind Zach Zinter. He's a technician. He's aggressive. He's the mindset that you want an offensive lineman to have, and that is, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to kick your ass today, and Zach Zinter will line up every day and try and make that happen.
All right, you made up for it by saying I'm going to kick your ass every day, just so you know that. So you made up for the Ohio State part of it by giving us all that goodwill towards the Browns. It's all good.
I appreciate it. I know it can be a little bit rough down there these days, but hey, we had 17 years of it, so give me 3.
You can have it. That's fair. We need the rivalry to be great. That's what I would say. So, so when you look at him and you talk about those traits of a player that are beyond football and being a leader and being, I mean, we saw how that game changed Ohio State Michigan when he got hurt. I mean, normally it's like a guy makes a great play, it changes the game. Here's a guy that got hurt, and it changed the game. What are those intangibles that you think the Browns front office saw when they were interviewing him and saying, this is why we want this guy here?
Well, because, I mean, he's a guy that's going to interview extremely well. One, you know, when you bring him in, he's going to look you in the eye. He's going to have a firm handshake. He's going to do all the things that you want somebody that's going to represent your organization to do and to be. And then when you get to the football side of things, he's got a really good football IQ. I love talking football with him. And I would share some stories about different things that would happen in my career and different situations. And we would talk about blitz pickup and the run game. He is all football all the time. And when you are drafting a guy, and it doesn't really matter if it's a first round or if it's a seventh round, you want guys a part of your franchise that their sole focus, especially in today's day and age where everybody's worried about their brand, you want as many of those guys that are simply focused on mastering their craft, being a good teammate, and winning ball games. And I guarantee you, he went into when he met with everybody from Cleveland, that's how they came away thinking about Zach Zinter.
John Jansen joining us, former Michigan Wolverine, played 9 years at right tackle for Washington in the NFL, won with the Lions, and giving us some great insight into the new man who's playing guard for the Browns. If you, obviously with the NFL background and working with the Lions now on their radio stuff, John, you see what's happening all around the league with guys getting hurt. The Browns now have, I think, a really interesting offensive line. And tell me about having young guys in these depth spots, because you have DeJuan Jones at tackle behind Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin, Michigan Stater. And now you have Zach Zinter coming in, where you have Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller, who each have a couple of years on their contract. How does that depth play, and how do you make that work as a team rather than just sitting there and being patient for the young guys to get on the field?
Well, I mean, in today's day and age, with 17 games, there's going to be somebody that misses a quarter or misses a half or maybe even misses a game, and you've got to have – that next guy in line that you want to be your starter, especially when Bitonio is, what, 32 years old, and I think Teller's 29. So when you get a little bit older, and I didn't have any injuries until I got to about 31 or 32, and then all of a sudden it was like, you know, hey, I couldn't make it through an entire week without getting some dinged up, and then I was hoping to be able to play on Sunday, and some weeks you can get it done, but with Thursday night games, with Saturday games later in the year, and short weeks, you've got to have some of that fresh young blood that can go in there, whether it's just at practice to be able to get valuable reps and be ready if called upon, or on a short week, or if somebody gets nicked up, you got to have them go in there so that they don't miss a beat. And Zach will be ready at any one of those moments. And, you know, and I know that Bitonio and Teller, they're entrenched as starters, but he's going to come in with the mindset that I want to push those guys because it's going to make me better, and hopefully it'll do something for them as well.
I'm just curious, like, you play at a school like Michigan, right? And then you're in front in Ohio State or wherever, anywhere in the Big Ten. You're at a school where you're surrounded by everyone that loves you, and everything. It's kind of sometimes you don't get sometimes hard criticism, and you're the man. And now all of a sudden you're going into a situation where you know you're going to be a backup after you've been the man. Maybe this situation, because he knows he's rehabbing a little bit to try to be a better player. What advice do you have to a college player that goes from a top program in the country and now all of a sudden finds him and was a huge contributor, and now you've got to say, okay, you're going to be stepping back just a little bit because you're in the NFL. What advice do you give to those guys?
Well, I would tell them first, look up Devin Bush, look up Mo Hurst, talk to Jack Conklin, talk to some guys that have gone through this entire process and find out what it's like, whether they came in as a starter. At some point during your career, you've had to face a time where you're not playing. Sometimes it's due to injury. Sometimes it's just because somebody's better than you. And you got to figure out how to deal with that, because through 4 years of high school, through 4 to 5 years of college, you have always been the big fish.
Yep.
And now you're with all the other big fishes, and you've got to find a way. And it can be mentally taxing on a lot of young players because they've never been inactive on game day. Like, that thought is just appalling. And I would tell them, if that happens at any point, because you just never know how many offensive linemen they're going to keep up. The goal is to be active. The goal is to start. But if you're inactive, then you got to use that frustration. You got to use that really weird feeling as motivation, because you don't ever want to have that or be in that position again. And you know what? Do what you can so that when your opportunity arrives, you're ready. And it could be due to injury. It could be due to, you know, somebody does something stupid off the field. It's opportunities come, and sometimes they only come once. If you're not ready, that opportunity goes to somebody else. So I would tell all those young players, Zach, anybody else that's drafted, you got to be ready. When your number's called, it's time to go.
John Jansen joining us, and he works with the Michigan Radio Network, the Detroit Lion Radio Network, doing radio in Detroit, played 9 years in the National Football League with Washington, one more with Detroit. John, you went through a number of quarterbacks when you were playing in Washington. I mean, it was changing every year, right? And it finally settled down a little bit, but you've got to have a perspective on the quarterback play in the NFL today based on what you went through in your career. Teams aren't very patient with quarterbacks right now. We saw it even in the draft with guys reaching. Where is quarterback play today, and where are teams with quarterback patience today?
Well, I mean, teams aren't going to be patient with coaches. They're not going to be patient with quarterbacks. We've seen coaches fired, 6 weeks or 8 weeks into their first year. We've seen them fired after their first season, 2 years. Like, that's part of the job. Same thing with quarterbacks is, you've got to go in and do a job. And if you don't get it done, you are going to be the most visible person that this franchise has. And you've got to go out there again. And we're kind of in this weird transition where you still have some old pro-style quarterbacks, and there's offenses that they fit into best. And then you have some of the younger players that are much more mobile. Obviously, you guys with Deshaun Watson there, you've got guys that are running a completely different offense. And the fans then on top of that, they want, if the mobile thing's not working, they want a pocket guy. If the pocket's not working, they want a mobile guy. There's always something greener on the other side of the fence. And the quarterbacks are always the ones that are caught in the middle. And you know what? The young quarterbacks are not allowed or given enough time to develop. And veteran quarterbacks, they're just right now, they're not allowed to make mistakes, because good quarterback play will win you championships. Poor quarterback play and you got no shot.
John, how patient can the Browns be with Deshaun Watson based on watching Denver get rid of Russell Wilson fast, other teams moving on from guys? Atlanta signs Kirk Cousins to big money and then drafts Michael Penix. I mean, I would think if you're a quarterback and you just kind of laid it out and it doesn't go well, and you're not for long anywhere where you are.
Well, you're not, but he's got to have a hell of a lot of money for himself to be patient and to figure out, if it doesn't work here, you still owe me a bunch of money and I'll go make it work somewhere else. And that's where I think, we've kind of lost some of the motivation, and you're only worth what somebody's willing to pay, right? And so if they're willing to pay you $200 million, that's what you're worth. Some guys and I'm not saying this is Deshaun Watson, but I have seen it where guys, they don't have the same fire, the same drive they did in their first 2 or 3 years, because all of a sudden that big payday comes and now they're, they've got this going on over here and they've got this business venture and this, and then football just doesn't become as important as it once was. And I don't know how long Deshaun Watson will have. I know that they've invested a great deal in draft capital as well as money into Deshaun. But I do know that this is a critical year for all parties involved.
John, great to have you with us.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
John Jansen, University of Michigan Radio Network, Detroit Lions Radio Network, Michigan grad, former right tackle for Washington in the NFL, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach Zinter coming to the Browns in the third round, Michigan Wolverine. And I loved what he said, Andy, that in the NFL today, guys are going to miss a quarter, they're going to miss a half, they might miss a game, they might miss a lot more than that. And Zach is the kind of guy who can step in and be ready to go. And Andy, it's we saw it last year. You almost need 7 or 8, if you can get it, starting caliber linemen. And that's a tough thing to get. And I actually think with DeJuan Jones now, and we'll see how it plays out with Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin, and with Zinter now, with Petonio and Teller, and hopefully Whipler with Ethan Posick, and Michael Dunn, you got about 9 guys there that you could play those guys and feel pretty good about your offensive line. You're not going to have to run out, you wouldn't think, and find somebody on somebody else's practice squad and bring them in, and all of a sudden they're starting in 3 days.
No, some of these guys will end up on the practice. I'm looking at our offensive line, and I agree with you. There are guys that are sitting there that you can already see will be practice squad guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And who are going to be your starters? But I do. You have to feel healthy. I mean, and I want to see. I want to see what Whipler looks like this year with a little bit more time, and if he is in the future for this team.
Yeah, and maybe he is. Interesting that there are three key backups, four. Include Michael Dunn, Big Ten guys.
Yeah.
And two Ohio Staters and a Michigan. So that's really good. Tyvus Powell's an Ohio Stater. He's going
to
join
us.
I guess
it's still hard to think of Maryland as a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, I know. It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Tyvus Powell joining us at 1 o'clock, our buddy on the Browns Radio Network. I have a new hero.
Who is your hero?
Vincent Dransfield.
Who?
Vincent Dransfield.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
So I saw this story, and I thought, well, that's just awesome. It's this gentleman named Vincent Dransfield. He lives in New Jersey. Little Falls, New Jersey is his town. Okay. He's been in the same house since 1945. He's a retired auto parts manager, was a volunteer fireman, and hops in his car every day. Drives out, goes to get coffee, goes out of the convenience store. He goes out and buys lunch, but he drives every day. He's 110 years old.
Wait, he's going to lunch by himself or he's going with the boys?
I'm assuming he hooks up with somebody, but he's driving every day. He's 110 years old.
Wow, man.
Is that awesome?
So born in 1914?
What? Why do you do that?
Well, I'm just thinking.
You throw a question. Do the math yourself.
I did.
You're throwing it to me and thinking I'm going to come up with the answer just like that. He's the eighth oldest living man on the planet. And he hops in his car and drives to go get lunch every day. That's at 110.
That's amazing.
And, folks, I'd suggest you do a little internet search. This guy, and now, this is going to sound old. He doesn't look any older than like 85, does he, Andy?
No, he looks great. He really does.
You think, well, 85 is old. Yeah, well, it's 25 more years. Think about being 85 and pulling out another 25 years to get to 110.
Think about the fact that Wilson was the president when he was born. Think about the fact that
Babe Ruth is the type of research I'm looking for. Instead of you saying, when was he born?
Well, Babe Ruth.
This is nice.
Babe Ruth was a rookie. Threw his first professional game as a pitcher, six hitter. I don't know who it was against, but it just said it was a six hitter.
Good Lord. The guy says, and his name's Vincent Dransfield, he's 110. Said he's never had cancer, never had heart disease. He doesn't get headaches. He's never had a backache. He worked on a dairy farm when he was 15 and during the Depression, and they said one of the benefits was he could drink milk. And he said, so all I did was drink milk like crazy, and he gives that some credit.
Really?
He also says that Ovaltine is one of the keys to his longevity.
Ovaltine?
He drinks Ovaltine. You mix that stuff
with his
milk, right?
Yeah.
It's a nutritional supplement. He says he has it every day for breakfast. But he said he's never watched his diet. He eats anything he wants.
Oh, man.
He never lifted weights.
Hero. He's my hero now.
He never lifted weights. He never exercised in the gym. But as a volunteer fireman, he said, I was always running around and doing stuff.
He was the chief, wasn't he?
He drinks a cup of coffee every day. So he has a little caffeine. He really doesn't. He has an occasional beer, but doesn't drink alcohol. But he's eating anything he wants. Dude's a, and he cooks for himself now. Lives by himself. He's self-sufficient. Driving his car at 110 years old.
That's awesome, though, isn't it? That then is. His grandkids pop by.
That's awesome.
I wonder. Did he just have his birthday? Is that what you're saying, or no? I thought you said he just had his birthday.
I didn't mention that at all.
Oh, okay. Well, if he's 110,
what are you listening
just
to?
His birthday. What I'm listening
you
to?
You got earbuds in listening to somebody else.
110 on May 31st, 1914. The White Sox, Joe Bents, no hit the Indians 6-1. That sucks.
What'd you do? Look up the year he was born.
Yeah, I'm just looking on this day. on this day in 1914. Think about all the things that have happened in his lifetime. Oh. It's amazing to me to think about some of these things.
He started smoking when he was 50.
What? He started when he was 50?
He smoked for 20 years, but he quit. It kind of shoots it right down the tubes, doesn't it?
Wow. A lot of Babe Ruth
110
stuff happening
there. The guy's 110. Leave Babe Ruth out of this.
Well, I'm just looking at all the things that have happened. I mean, like the first airline flights were happening when he was first born. Like modern air travel like barely existed when he was born. Greyhound was invented the year he was born. These are all these great things. I love thinking about that. If you were born 100 years ago, what's happened in your lifetime?
You could buy a bowler hat for 13 halfpennies.
Yeah, I could.
You want to live to be 110?
No. I can't be honest.
If I had this guy's health, I think I'd go for it.
That's me too. If I'm healthy, I'm feeling good. I'm not dealing with anything.
Well, you might. Let's get personal. Your grandfather's how old? 94?
96.
And he drives.
Yeah, he's slowed down on the driving recently, which might be better off when you're 96 and had a hip replacement. So partial hip replacement. But yeah, 96, lives on his own. Takes care of everything himself. He's been backing off more and more recently. His kids have been helping him out a little bit more. So,
well, that's awesome.
Turns out nicely. My uncle's, well, that is.
Congratulations to you, and congratulations to Mr. Dransfield. 110 years old and driving every day.
Gotta be cheesesteaks too. He's from Jersey, right? He's got to be eating cheesesteaks too.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Well, he said he doesn't pay any attention to his diet.
Yeah.
He eats whatever he wants.
Eats what he wants.
But he can eat Fritos.
Genetics. Genetics,
so that's a good thing.
Somewhat good clean living, you know?
My buddy John sent me a text, said Ovaltine is delicious. Apparently it's good for you too.
I guess it makes you live to 110.
I guess it does. I guess
what's the secret of life? Ovaltine.
Can we look up your baseball? Can we move it forward about 110 years?
I'm looking at all, I mean, between sports and war stuff that happened in 1914, there didn't a whole lot happen that year.
That's great.
Yeah. A couple of airline flights. And
well, yesterday, man, the Guardians lost to the Atlanta Braves. Doesn't that kind of set a nice tone, though, for this team, Andy? You went into a series as the best team in the American League, going up against the best team in the National League, and you lost the series 2-1, but you played a good series. And I kept hearing something, you know, when watching all the national accounts of everything that happened, it was like, you got the best team in the American League record-wise against the best team in the National League. And I just thought, keep saying that. I wonder if they're going to buy it. I just, you know, a lot of folks are waiting for the floor to drop out of this team. And I just think the longer you go, the less likely that is to happen. They've been getting good play all the way around. You competed against a really top-notch team that I think a lot of folks think are the World Series favorites.
Yeah.
And you played them well. Very impressive.
I was happy with the weekend. I was happy with the way they – I mean, they were, what, an inning away from – or they're, you know, run away from, you know, taking 2 out of 3. You know, they didn't lose. They didn't win on Friday. Well, that's all right. I get it. But the way they played over the weekend, the last 2 days, it's just been – I was impressed. I was impressed by the way that they battled and they hung and they came back on Saturday. And, you know, they gave it – and both the games mirrored each other with the Braves coming back to tie it up in the eighth. But, the wild pitches – Did you catch the end of the game on Saturday?
Yes.
Like, I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? And I was like, you know what? They're taking advantage of it. Yesterday, they maybe ran themselves out of a victory, but that's all right. Again, I'm going to say, And I said this like right in the beginning of the season, if they're gone like that, you're going to live by it and you're going to die by it. And yesterday they died by it in extra innings. So that's all right. I'm happy about the weekend. I really feel like the Guardians went up against the best team in baseball and said, you know what? We're not intimidated by anybody. We're not scared by anybody. Now, your pitching's still going to have to hold up. But, you know, the offense has been there, and they've had opportunities, and, you know, they're still plus, what, 46 on run differential? So, I don't, keep it up, man. As long as the offense keeps moving and the bullpen can stay where they're at, does it really matter what the starters look like?
One thing I think is really interesting here, and Kyle Manzardo sitting well, he's been playing well.
Yes,
he's sitting in AAA. He's hitting just under 300 right now.
But he's five homers in his last eight games.
He's been productive. Like that. And I thought, well, okay, he's being productive. This team is winning, but I wonder what the DHs are doing. You know, because a lot of different guys have been in there, and I found a stat on it, current stat. And I think, if I recall correctly, it impressed me so much I didn't even bother to get real with it. The Guardians are either second, third, or fourth in batting average for DHs this season. And I thought, well, okay, I guess you can let the kids sit down there and let them ferment, because the DHs are actually doing the job, and it's not just one. You know, they've been using a bunch of different guys, but it's working. And I keep going back to Stephen Vogt using his roster, and I think that's impressive. He's using the roster, and the roster is not full of stud players, Andy, but he's getting a lot out of whoever he's putting into the lineup, and I give him a lot of credit for that. I think that's pretty impressive. Very well done.
Yeah, they're off to a great start. I'm happy with everything. I don't think you could ask for a better first month of the season.
No, absolutely.
There's
not.
Just no way.
No. Other than health.
Yeah, especially knowing the expectations that were on this team. We're like, they didn't do anything in the offseason. I think most people would have been like, they'll be in the middle of the pack in the Central coming out of the first month. And how often do we talk about, whether it was Indians or Guardians, how slow they come out in April? Well, they didn't. And I think they've exceeded expectations. Maybe it's, you know, just young guys that have been now playing together for a little bit of time, maybe like 3 years, some of these guys have been together, and you just infuse some young blood in the manager spot. And so far, the recipes are, Atlanta hasn't lost two games in a row all season. So, you know, and the Guardians were on the verge of sending them over the cliff and picking up their 20th win of the year.
Second time this season, the Guardians have lost 3 out of 5 games. Didn't faze them the last time. We'll see if it fazes them this time around. But obviously, they've done a really, really good job. If their starting pitching can hang in there, this could get really interesting. I think we'll see. Tyvis Powell, Browns Radio Network, has to be giddy. Why? A local guy who went to Ohio State comes to the Browns. Tyvis did that. Roundabout way for Tyvis. He's next. We'll get his thoughts on the draft and more on Baskin and Phelps.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.